We're in the book of Psalms today, Psalm 119, Psalm 119. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We will read responsively, as we usually do, down to verse number 16. So Psalm 119, verse number 1. I'll begin reading verse 1. We will read responsively from there. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord together. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this time where we remember you and what you did for us 2,000 years ago by coming down, being born and dying for our salvation. Please be with our service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Hear the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard. To the Lamb, pure
Thank you. For the next few weeks, the next three Sunday mornings, and then the second service on the 23rd, we're going to have a bit of a Christmas theme with our messages, getting what we really want for Christmas. Today, we're going to speak about the letter that you really need. Many people, you ask children to give you a Christmas list, and you need to watch out. Okay, and they have a list of what they want. I remember this didn't always happen. I remember one year my mom, she was like, all right, she'd usually just ask us what we want, and she'd go buy stuff. But she's like, she had everybody give a list. And I don't know how many things, I put down like 8 or 9 things. And then that Christmas morning when I got there, there was exactly that amount of gifts. And it was every single thing I had asked for. I could actually tell when I got the first gift, I was like, this is going to be that. And this is going to be that. Now, that didn't happen very often because most of the time I got coal. Okay, I was that kind of kid. We know what we want, and we're excited when we get it. Remember, one year we got a catalog in the mail. This is when Jessica, Allison, Stephen, we may have Hannah. They were little, and there was this, like this 50-page catalog of Christmas toys, and I think I gave it to you, Allison. And I'm like, hey, Allison, take this catalog and just go through there and maybe circle a few of the toys that you'd be interested in getting. And so I don't know if it was like a day later, she brought the book back to me, and like 90% of the book was circled. Now, I thought back, and I thought, I should have asked her, circle the things you don't want, okay? Now, she did say, I thought I would help you or something like that. I circled stuff for Jessica and Stephen also. I'm like, well, thank you for that. And did they get everything they wanted on their list that year? No, they got nothing, all right? Now, sometimes when we get gifts, we get things that we don't necessarily want, but we need. No kid puts on their Christmas list socks and underwear. Unless it's like my wife bought some underwear for one of the grandkids, and hold on, man. They're probably not in here. It was like Marvel characters. I'm like, this is a great gift. The kids will love it. She goes, you want something like that? I'm like, pass. I'll just totally pass on that. Sometimes we get stuff that we actually need or that we can use. Well, In the summer, we've been studying Psalm 119, and you could study Psalm 119 and just look at it forever. But there's one gift that God gave us that we desperately need. It's the letter he gave to us. It's the word of God. And in Psalm 119, it just talks about all of the different aspects of the word of God. The Bible is God's great gift to mankind. You ever notice... most everything that you buy comes with some type of owner's manual or instruction manual. Even the lamest things. And it's like, really? I'm pretty sure I can figure out how to use this. Okay? A glass. I'm pretty sure you pour it in there and you drink it. But they do that for legal reasons. I get it. But it seems like the most important things in life don't come with an instruction manual. Okay? When you got married, no one said, here's an instruction manual about how to get through this sane and alive. When children are born, they didn't come with anything. There was no book attached to their toe that said, you know, user's manual, how to do this or whatever. The most important things in life don't typically have that. But the fact of the matter is, God made sure that the most important things in life do have that. And it's in his word. His word gives us all that we need. The Bible is really the key for us to be the Christians that we ought to be, and really the people that God wants us to be. I won't go through the statistics. I've mentioned them before, but most Christians say that the Bible is important to them, but statistics tell us otherwise. The statistics about how often a Christian reads the Bible, if they read their Bible at all, is pretty hideous, to be real honest with you. And they've done other ones where people that say they believe the Bible, and then they'll ask them how relevant is, or do they actually apply the Bible to their life, and again, the statistics are astounding. They're very, very, very low. The Bible is a gift from God that must be a daily part of our lives. The columnist Dear Abby recorded a powerful story one time. There was a young man from a wealthy family in his little area where they lived. It was the custom for the children to get a car as a graduation gift. One year, the boy's father, on graduation, he was expecting to get a car. He had actually looked at his car and kind of dropped some hints to his father. But on that day, on his graduation, the gift that he got from his father was a Bible. According to Dear Abby, this boy left the Bible there and stormed out. His dad and him's relationship, he really didn't talk much to his dad. And many years later, when his dad died and he was at the house, they were going through his things, he found that Bible that he had turned back to his dad after his dad had given to him on his graduation night. And as he started reminiscing about their bad relationship and all of that, he started thumbing through the Bible, and inside he found an envelope, and in the envelope was a check for the amount of the car that the boy had actually wanted. It was there all along, but he never looked in there to find it. That's a very good parallel to the Bible, because fact of the matter is, most Christians carry a Bible. And in this Bible, it has everything that we need for this life. Everything you need to get through childhood, everything you need to get through marriage, everything you need to get through the problems and the situations that come in your life. And the fact of the matter is, we're like that young man. We'll never crack it open, and we'll never get what God wants for us. But the Bible has everything that we need. This morning, I want to show you from Psalms 119 some of the things that the Bible has and what we need and why God gave it to us. I want us to notice first of all, that it's what we need to be different. It's what we need to be different. Look at verse 9 of Psalm chapter 119. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Here, the question is asked, what do you need to have a life that is clean and right in the sight of God? What do we need? What do we need to actually get our lives to that point? Because so often we find what God wants us to do. We find what God wants us to be, and there's a gap, right? But how do we bridge that gap? How do we change the things we need to change? How do we become what we need to become to get to that place? He tells us right here, wherewithal. What is the means that we have for a young man, and that could be anybody really, to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He says, here is what you need. Here is the wherewithal. Here is what gives you what you need to be and become what I want you to become and what I want you to be. That means that we will be different. When we change, when we get into the Bible and we're becoming what God wants us to be, we will, as a necessity, we will need to change. And he tells us that change comes, or we can be different because of God's word. The answer is wrapped up in the gift of this letter. We do what it says. If you ask the average person how they feel about themselves, they'll tell you things that they don't like about themselves, right? If they were honest, say, well, I don't like my ears, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. And most all the time when you ask them what they don't like about themselves, they're going to throw out a bunch of external things. It'd be amazing. You could ask the girl that you would think would be the prettiest girl you've met, is there things about yourself you want to change? And you'd be surprised sometimes. They have a low self. Well, I wish I could change this, or I wish I could change this, or I wish I, but it's all external. But you know, God doesn't work on the external. God works through the internal. And God says, I could change you. And by the way, I know our actions must change in some areas and this and that, but God works from the inside out. How does that happen? Well, it's to the gift he gave us. He gave us the word of God. God wants us to be different. The word of God will change us. But the changes won't be related to things that aren't of any value. It'll be related to how we live, how we act, and how we think. And by the way, for most of us, I'll throw myself in there, that stuff desperately needs to be different. If I just go on my way without God and without His Word and without trying to follow Him and I'm doing all these things, I am not going to line up with what God wants. But when I get in the Bible and I realize this is what God wants, the Bible helps me to be different. We want to be different, but the difficulty is, how does that happen? Because we can't do it ourselves. So the power instructions that we need to be different come from the pages of God's Word. That's why God gave it to us. It's what we need to be different. Secondly, it's what we need to be delivered. This goes hand in hand. Look at verse 11 of Psalm chapter 119. We'll read other verses than just the ones that Joseph read this morning for us. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." It has become a part of me. It's that inward that I just said, that process that God works on us inwardly. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." That I will not disobey thee. Now he said that in the verse, the wherewithal to change comes from taking heed to his word, but it has to hide in our heart so that we don't disobey his word and we can heed and obey his word. It helps us to be delivered. Psalm chapter 119, verse 101. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." Verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." You see, we live in an imperfect world. At one time, this world was perfect, when Adam and Eve were created. But then they sinned, and sin became a part of this world. And we now live with that. We live with those consequences. And the fact of the matter is, because we're in this flesh, and because from Adam sin was passed down to us, we live with that propensity to do that which is wrong, and we have to fight that. But how do we do that? How can we be delivered from that fleshliness, which just wants to go to the left and wants to go to the wrong way? How do we get delivered? We get delivered because of God's word. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Yes, Eve sinned, but Adam went in knowingly. And God put it on Adam. And Adam, because of his children, he passes down a lot. You know, you get your father's DNA. Well, the DNA we got from Adam was sin, and it's just passed down. By the way, that's why Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, because he was God in the flesh, and because if he would have had an earthly father, he would have sinned. He would have had the sin nature. But we do. Jesus doesn't have it, but we do have it. Sin is a problem. By the way, we cannot control our disobedience to God. Some people, we get involved in things sometimes, and we know what we're doing is wrong. We know it's disobedient. It's like, you know what? It's just a small thing. I can control it. You may believe that. Satan may tell you that, but Jesus doesn't believe that. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, is the servant of sin." Sin's addictive. We think of addiction, we think of the RU program. Some alcohol. No, sin's addictive. And once we start disobeying God, or we allow these things in our life, they sometimes go unchecked. Well, they will go unchecked, and they'll spread. And they'll become harder and harder and harder to overcome. But I have good news for you. The Word of God helps us to overcome it. We are dead to sin. It should not rule over us. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read a few verses there. If you want to turn over, you can. Verse 11. Paul says a few things about sin here. Romans 6:11, he says, "Likewise, reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the good part. He says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." You know, all of us, none of us will ever get to the point where we're perfect. We will all still sin. But sin should not be a dominating thing in our life. And when we do, do something we know that is wrong, we ought to feel bad about it, and we ought to confess that. He says, "Don't let it reign over you." Okay, verse 13. Neither yield ye your body members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. God says, listen, sin should not dominate your life. You've been saved by grace, and that same grace that saves you now gives you the power to not be dominated by sin in your life. I know in a crowd the size of this, there's somebody in here that's struggling with some type of sin. Not something that you got mad and you were angry and you got over that. I'm talking about it's a dominating thing and you cannot get over it. Can I just tell you something? The Bible, the Word of God, through the grace of God, can help you to be delivered from sin. It shouldn't dominate your life. Amen. We all fight it. I'm not going to go there, but in Romans chapter 7, Paul fights and goes, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And what Paul is saying is basically, it's a war. There's always a war going on inside of us, right versus wrong. And let me just tell you something. The closer we are to God, the more we are in His book, the more that we will win that battle. That battle will never go away, never. But we'll win that battle, and it won't be as hard because we have the Word of God in our life and in our heart. God gave us that. The Bible gives us power to be delivered from the power of sin in this life. Whether it's the sin of commission, those are the things that we do that we should not do. Or the sins of omission, that's when we don't do the things that we should do. The Word of God helps us to be delivered. The Word of God also helps us to be decisive. Look at Psalm 119, verse 24. He goes, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Verse 130, he says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." See, we don't walk in darkness anymore. Back before I was saved, the things I did, the things I was involved with, the path of my life really was a path of darkness. I had no clue what the light was. But when I got saved and then I got right with the Lord and I got in the Word of God, the light was starting to shine. And now the things I saw before that I didn't see as wrong, that I was involved with and I was paying the price for it, now I saw them for what they really were. I had the power to overcome many of those things. Decisive. How do we do that? Because we need to know how to make the right kind of decisions. You know, people talk a lot about going for counseling, and I'm not against counseling. I talk to people all the time. But the fact of the matter is, most of the counsel that we need to make the decisions in our life, to direct what's going on in our life, are found in the Word of God. And the reason we don't know, and I'm not saying, because there's things in my life I've wanted, I get counsel, like, what about this one? But I'm talking about just the daily, everything of life. Sometimes people just make horrific decisions because they're not in the Word of God, and so they don't have that light that helps them to make the right decisions. The Bible helps us to be decisive. The problem isn't so much in the decisions that we have to make in this life, because we always have to. The problem is the process in how we make those decisions. So many people make decisions rashly without a thought. Well, I had to do something. Better to wait and do the right thing than to do the wrong thing quickly. We make them wrongly because of outward influence. Well, you know, well, this person said to do that. What were they basing that off of? If it's not scripture, it could be a problem. We have to make the right decisions. The Bible helps us to be decisive. All throughout the Bible, you see men that made destructive decisions. I think of Rehoboam. I think we preached on it a few months ago. Rehoboam, King Solomon's son. I know it was of God. God was going to split the kingdom. I get that, but he still made his errors. He was going to make a decision. At the end of Solomon's life, Solomon had totally deviated away from God. worshiping false gods, just laying the burden on the people. And the people came to Rehoboam and said, listen, lighten up our load just a little and we'll follow you. So what did he do? He went to the old men that were with Solomon. And the old men of Solomon, they saw the mistakes. They saw the deviations. And he said, listen, just listen to these people. But what did he do? He went to his buddies, the guys he grew up with, the guys he hung out with. And they, come on. Let them know that you're in charge. You'll be harder than your dad. 10 of the tribes bailed. Bad decision. Amnon liked his sister Tamar, half-sister Tamar. And he thought she was beautiful, and he thought she was in love, and he wouldn't have done anything about it. It was just a fleeting thought in his head. But he had a friend, Jonadab. Jonadab gave him this thing, and he ended up raping his sister. We make bad decisions because we're following wrong counsel. The Bible puts us on the path to that which is right. The more we know of the Bible, the more of the answers we will have to what's going on in this life. Fourthly, it's also what we need to be delighted. Look at verse 49 and 50. It's Psalm chapter 119. He says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me, given me life, my problems. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be my comfort, according to the word unto thy servant. There are a lot of things, as he's talking about here, affliction, things where we need hope. There are a lot of these things in this earth that can just take that away from us. If we're not careful and we're not walking with God, if we're not in his word, we see all the problems, the things that come into this life, and we let it get us down. We have the afflictions, and sometimes we have good cause to kind of get down. But if we stay in his word, we can overcome those things and we can still delight even when we are going through problems. There's not a lot of comfort to be found outside of God in this world. There's just not. The fact that there's a lot of stuff to be depressed about. But man, when we're in God's word, we have hope. We know that we have a solid future. And we know that one day God will be in control. And we can have delight. The Bible talks much about joy. You know why we can have hope and comfort in the Bible? Because the Bible gives us the ultimate outcome. Right. We know that no matter what happens, that ultimately we're on the victorious side. Yes, sir. Oh, there was a man, I was reading a story, a guy was talking about a brother-in-law he had where he was a sports fan of his college. That his alma mater, he would watch their basketball games. I forgot what team it was. And he's one of these guys that's into it. You know, if the team starts to lose, his stress level's going up, his heart rate and all that stuff. And it was a problem for him. Well, he got ill, and the doctor was, when he went to the doctor, he had a bit of a heart issue. And the doctor's like, now you got to be careful that you're not around anything that causes stress. And his wife goes, it's the basketball games that cause stress. You can't watch them anymore. He's like, but that's my favorite. I got to watch the games. So they came up with a plan. Here was the plan. They'll record the games. You can't watch them live. Then they would go and tell him and say, now look, the team won. If they won, he could watch it. Now, the good thing about that is he didn't know the score. He just knew they won. Let's just say they got off to a bad start and they're down by like 20. It didn't bother him at all. It's like, doesn't matter. You know how it is, sometimes your team's down and they're in the crowd screaming and you're like, come on, man, the boat's taking water. He didn't care because he already knew we're going to win this one. No stress whatsoever. Sometimes that's how it is for us. It just seems like this life, things are going sideways and it just seems like things aren't going to go very well for us. But you know what? When we're in the Bible, it's like we can keep everything in perspective. Okay? God has never fallen off the throne. We looked at Revelation chapter 4. God's on the throne. Ain't nobody kicking him off. He's got it. It's all good. Now, we might have a bump ride for a while, but you know what? We're going to get through it. We're going to get to the other side. When we get to the other side, it'll be well worth it. But we get that comfort from God. And then lastly, it's what we need to be directed. The prototypical verse in Psalm chapter 119 is verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We all need direction in life, don't we? And we just live in a world where we're also self-sufficient. We think we don't need any help at all. And it's great to know that if we just follow the Bible on a daily basis, God directs us and he gets us to where we need to be. Now, as I mentioned in the last point, there are things that come in life that we cannot do anything about. It's just going to be difficult. There's some trials of life we have to go through. But I'll say this, a lot of the trials we run into and a lot of the problems we run into in life, we drove ourselves right into it. And God can direct us around it and through it. You know, all of us have GPS, right? And there's one app that's called Waze. How many know Waze? Waze is like an interactive app, and people report traffics in that. And so Waze will direct you, sometimes goofy, but you get around. We were on vacation about 3 or 4 years ago, and we were in Santa Cruz, and we were heading across through Santa Clara and up to Daly City. We were going to go to San Francisco. We were going to be in Brother Pichardo's church. And there's that freeway from if you've ever been on it, from Santa Cruz, that crosses through to the 101, and you go through hills. How many have been on that freeway? And we're driving through there, and all of a sudden, there's just traffic. Bad. And it's not like you're in the mountains. Like, not mountains, but you're in hills. And Waze said, get off. And I'm like, but it's hills. And so I got off on Waze, and I'm driving through these hills, about 2 miles, and then it brought me right back to the freeway. And I kid you not, it brought me back to the freeway 20 feet, 30 feet ahead of an accident, which was blocking both lanes of traffic. I mean, we pulled in, it's like right there, and I'm like, Waze works. I just bypassed all that drama. I'd have been on that freeway for an hour, and a little detour through the mountains, it was home free. So often what we do is we run ourselves into all these problems, and God's like, I can already show you all that. If you'll just follow me, if you'll just follow my word, I'll direct you. I'll direct you short term, and I'll also direct you long term. We all want to follow God. What does God have for me 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Listen, follow him each and every day, and whatever God has for you 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you'll get there. But if you won't follow him today, you're not going to get there. So what's the point? You know what the point is? The Bible's a big deal. Yes, sir. And God gave you the best Christmas present you could ever get, his word. Yep. God didn't just say, hey, I saved you. You now have eternal life. Fend for yourselves until you get to heaven. God said, I got more for you than that. Yep. I got you a letter that will help you. Now, let me ask you this morning, are you different? Have you become a different person since you met Christ? Are some of the things that bother you, have you been able to get over that? Are you being delivered from sin? Oh, not, I'm not talking about alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, maybe some of those things. Although, if you struggle with that, you can get help with that. Yes. But what about the small things that plague us? Anger. Some of these other ones that are acceptable, and we kind of hide those. How's your decision-making process? Do you find yourself sometimes getting yourself in trouble because the way you're making your decisions is not the way you should? Are you getting through the problems in your life? The Bible's here to help us with each and every one of those things. Let's all stand this morning, please.